That's right. Say a lot of
the loving mother, the kindest words to say. Forgiven from the past.
Yeah.
Someday I will. Someday I know.
Yeah.
Someday I will be no afraid.
Hallelujah.
Song.
I'm just sitting
there
thinking about what it's
going to
be like.
Well, be prepared all the time.
Yeah.
Have yourself ready for it. We may not be here.
You can learn 100 songs on piano in 1 hour.
No way!
All you need to learn is 4 chords.
That same old life.
of your fame is high, 'cause no one will understand. Last thing that lost world needs, someone I've tried to be, truth that has set me free, than just a broken man.
That song Sister Rita sung there too. Man, we get to heaven. Boy, there's going to be a lot of... Oh, thank you, brother. Mitch, I'll let no days alone. I'm going to get you to go ahead and take this up. And I'm going to get Brother Eric ask a blessing on the offering. It would, brother.
Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this day, Father, and so thankful for this offering here today.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, may it go for the funds of this church here in Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Mitchell. But I love the song Sister Rita sung. Love the song Brother Patrick sung there. I wish I could sing. I'd sing like them. Amen. Hallelujah. But when we get to heaven, though, we'll make a lot of wrongs right. You know, we make mistakes down here. We all do. Sometimes we don't do nothing about it. And we know we should. We just keep putting it off and putting it off. And in that moment, slips through our fingers and we're there, you know, at the funeral home wishing we'd made that wrong right. I'm just telling you, a lot of things down here, buddy, I wish wasn't like they are, but they are. But when we get to heaven, boy, there'll be a lot of neck hugging. There'll be a lot of, oh my. I can't wait to see my little daughter, Cindy. First thing I want to do, I just want to say, honey, I'm sorry. Daddy's sorry, honey. And she'll come to me either. I don't know if she'll still have that blonde hair or not. But James talking about getting old and falling, I don't know. I know we'll be renewed like the eagle. I know our flesh will become like a little child's flesh. I don't know. Haven't been to heaven yet. I know one thing. We're going to meet up there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell her I'm sorry. She's going to say, Daddy, I'm sorry. And we're going to have an eternity to enjoy that moment of making things right. You know, I didn't know it was the last time I was going to see her there at my mother's house. I didn't know next time I seen her sister face, she'd be laying in a coffin. I didn't know that. I didn't get to see her at the hospital. They wouldn't let us in. We was back there praying. But God saw fit to take her on home, and I'll understand more about that when I get there. But when I do get there, I'm going to tell her, I'm sorry, honey. Wish I'd realized that was the last day I was going to see my little girl. And my older daughter, man, I did see her at the hospital. Now I remember her looking at me. Our eyes made contact, Sarah. And I could tell by looking in her eyes, she said, I wish I'd listened to you, Dad. They had her feet up on the ceiling, trying to keep her from having a stroke. She already had a heart attack. She was DOA at arrival at the hospital. But they brought her back, and she was at the medical center the last time I seen her alive. And as beautiful as she was, and she is beautiful, that look in her eye, I'll never forget it. I looked at her and she looked at me. And you could read her eyes saying, Dad, I wish I'd listened. I told her, back off that smoking, man. She had her obituary, tobacco abuse. Her fingers was orange. But, you know, my daughter was suffering from depression. And a lot of people handle things different. I'm like Brother Patrick. I'm just going to love my Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to tuck and roll. I'm going to do this right here.
Amen.
Loving my Jesus. Mm-hmm. This world down here, buddy, there's a devil down here. Make no mistake about it. He may have been 150, Pat. He may not have failed necessarily because of that. He may have, either he already had it put there or may have pushed you over where you step in. You never know. But James up there right on top of her. At least he had a little cushion there when he fell. Poor Patty. No wonder they want to examine her. Thought, well, she's broke more than another. Some big as Brother James there falling on her. Amen. Let me make a couple announcements here. This is 4th July week, and I know everybody's probably got plans. Just be safe. I do want to celebrate living in the most blessed country in the world. It's like heaven on earth, amen. To be able to live in America is a blessing, God. Other countries trying to get here, I don't really understand all that's going on. But it could very well be, and I'm not smart, but it could very well be the last harvest.
Yeah.
Could be what this is all about. I don't know. I mean, we've got criminals coming over. I know that.
Yeah.
We've probably got also got, I'm preaching there about desperate women. We've probably got also desperate people trying to get out of the environment they're in. And here we're taking America for granted. They're dying to get here. A lot of them don't make it. A lot of them perishing away. They paid big money to get here. I don't know how to say what's going on with our country, but it could very well be the last harvest. These people, a lot of them could get saved.
Right.
A lot of them, you know, could be a help. I don't know. We just have to see how this goes. I don't know, but be safe. It's 4th of July. You're living in the blessed country. There is. And it is a blessing to live in America. And God has given you that blessing. And I'm like, Sharon, I'll sit there and watch the fireworks on my TV. I'm not going nowhere, amen. I got a few bottles right
here at home.
Yeah.
Keep
it
warm.
Amen. And let me say also, my granddaughter is getting married tomorrow. And she's been sweating bullets. Pray for her. Pray for me. I'll be doing her wedding. And I'm going to say, as a grandfather, I'm probably going to have emotional struggle with that. But pray for me. Everything will be all right. I had mentioned this already to the church. They want to use the church to get married here. I've got her here a couple times, but I'm trying to get them come more. And maybe this will help. I don't know. I'm trying to obligate them to where they'll come, but I've tried to compel them to come. But they're going to come today and kind of bring some food and decorate a little bit. And then tomorrow will be the wedding. And then if she don't clean it up, I will. We'll make it right. But anyway, pray for me. Pray for her. I think she's 21. But it's a, her birthday's Tuesday. Her wedding's Monday. Oh, she cut it close. She was born July the 2nd. But anyway, we're preaching to finish out. I told you I had another part of that message on desperate women. After this week, I'm going to go to a series on underestimating God. And to be honest with you, I could preach that all the way to the end of the year and still wouldn't make a scratch in the material of underestimating God. But that's where we're going to go after this right here. But this morning, thank you for coming. We'll take our text this morning out of Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. We got Vacation Bible School coming up. I'm excited about it. And I believe it's going to be good. Amen.
Amen.
I appreciate the Lord putting in Rita's heart. She's, well, I'll tell you what, Rita's a worker.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, she comes over on Wednesday night. Sometimes ain't nobody here but me and her. And she gets that thing here recording and people get to listen in. That's a blessing. I was talking to Sister Joanne. She's so thankful to be able to listen in. And you know what? I praise God for it myself. A lot of people don't know this little old church is getting blessed. But that little old live stream there, pretty soon somebody's going to get the cane hip and going to say, hey, I got to come over and get in on some of that. Amen.
Amen.
Mark chapter number 5. And thank you for praying for me. Please pray for me tomorrow during that wedding. Mark chapter 5. Remember my wife. She'll be coming tomorrow. And she's just not able. I don't know how that's going to go neither, but she's determined she's coming. And she's just really physically not able to do it. But pray for her. Mark 5, starting in verse 24. And Jesus went with him, talking about Jairus. I believe that's right. One had his son there. Yeah, Jairus. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And this woman, she's a desperate woman, but her name is called Anna, certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had. And, you know, it's sad commentary. It was nothing better, but rather worse. I've seen this from my own wife. Everybody wants health. She told me this morning, I'm trying to be careful. I can't afford to lose no more ground. I mean, she's kind of like on the teeter-totter right now. When she, this is good right here. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press. She come from behind.
Yeah.
Came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes. Boy, it's pretty desperate.
Yeah.
She's not wanting to shake his hand. She's not wanting time to tell him what the problem is. She said, I just want to touch his clothes. That's pretty desperate. She said, I shall be whole.
Yeah.
And straightway, Sister Bonnie,
yeah,
the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body. I like that. Somebody said it. You can't feel it? I felt it.
Oh, yeah.
April 27, 1988, I felt my condemnation, my guilt leave. I felt the peace of God come in and take its place. How good was that feeling, Brother Eagle? Enough I went and looked in the mirror. Now, the mirror couldn't show what I was feeling. I was feeling pretty good. I ran people down and tell them, hey, I got saved. Jesus saved me. They wasn't that interested. But boy, I couldn't tell it enough, amen. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. There's a lady over at Bethel Baptist Church I worked with her at Donnelly's. Her name's Linda Garrett. And I'm praying God to heal her. She got cancer, got bad, and real bad. And I'm praying not only God to heal her, but I'm praying she'll know that she's healed. And I'm wanting her to get up and shout and praise God, saying, God, heal me. I'm wanting that. Her husband named James Garrett. And I'm praying that, earnestly praying that. But she said, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself, now you don't pull too much over on Jesus, that virtue had gone out of him, Brother Eric, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, he didn't say who touched me. He said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thrown in thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her. He knew who he was looking for that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. All right, we'll stop right there. We're preaching again on desperate women. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to have a Bible. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of living in America. Lord, we thank you for this good little church, Lord. Oh, my. Lord, I thank you for what you do here. I thank you for the table that you always set. I thank you for the liberty and the anointing, Lord, that a lot of preachers, I guess, take for granted, but I'm so thankful for it. Lord, bless your children today. Bless your preaching today. Bless your name here today. Lord, may this word go out. Lord, may it find good ground. May it prosper in the thing it's sent to do. May it not return void. We pray it be plain. We pray it be watering. We pray, dear God, that you be able to give increase from it. And Lord, get people saved. We pray for that, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the door still open. We thank you, Father, Lord, the opportunity is still available to lay hold on eternal life. A lot of people, they know they need to get saved. They just hadn't done it yet. I pray urgency upon them. And I pray, God, Lord, they get right with God. I pray, Lord, Father, you bless your churches, your preachers, your children. Bless your work. I bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. Desperate women. Like I said, we'll be having that wedding here tomorrow. My granddaughter getting married. You're talking about a desperate woman. She finally found her husband. Amen. And you know, my wife, bless her heart, I mentioned last Sunday about how desperate she was. Get up under the hand of her mother. And she just took her changes. But talking about desperate women, Abram's wife, Sarai, gave her husband, Abraham, her handmaid, Hagar, saying, Go in unto her, it may be that I may obtain children by her. Genesis 16:2. And then Rachel told her husband, Jacob, Give me children or else I die. Genesis 30:1. And she told her husband to go in her handmaid, Bilhah. Genesis 30:3. A lot of desperate women in the Bible. But we're going to stay in the New Testament here. This woman here, she's desperate because of her circumstances. She's called a certain woman, but her circumstances wouldn't allow her to ignore her problems. Not only could she not ignore her problems, but as you read there, she'd been to many doctors. She had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather worse. Verse 26, that's the way it is sometimes. And I'll tell you what, worse it gets, the more desperate you get, Sister Faye. I take my health for granted. I guess like everybody else, the Lord's been good to me. I don't take a single pill. 36 years ago, I took one pill. Healed every problem I had. I took the gospel. And I tell you right now, but it made me whole. And I've been enjoying the flesh of God ever since. And I recommend everybody get a hold deep on the gospel. Hallelujah. Well, I'm telling you, God's Word. Oh, it's good. We need more of it. Amen. The more of the Word of God you can get, better off you'll be. I was sharing some scripture with a man this week. I was telling him what Proverbs 7:4 says. I said, it says, here, look here, it says, it's life, all those that find them, and health to the flesh. I said, you need to get you a good, healthy Bible diet. And I tell you what, just try to be a blessing, amen. She's desperate because of her circumstances. For 12 years, Sister Bonnie, she suffered. Boy, I tell you what, that'd be rough. I mean, I've seen people suffer for 12 years. That's a long time. And verse 27 says, She had heard of Jesus. Have you ever seen somebody, you know, you got a problem, and nobody may not necessarily know about it. You hear somebody talking about something, and I mean, you get real interested. What was it you said again about doing that? You know, I tell people all the time about eating canned cherries, helping with the gout. But you know, when you need help, you're more inclined to listen, sir.
That's right.
And when you're talking about something, somebody's got a need to hear what you got to say. They really give it here. Well, she had heard of Jesus. She's had this problem for 12 years. I don't know who all she'd talked to about it, but when she heard of Jesus, boy, I'll tell you what, she started her journey. And it says she came in from behind the crowd. I can just see her now, pinching and biting and shoving like a linebacker. Maybe from the Bengals Tigers. I don't know about sports. I don't watch any sports. But here she comes. Hey, she's working. She's fighting. She's moving towards her goal. And then like a touchdown, she makes it to Jesus, Brother James. And I don't know how much of his clothes she got, but I'm telling you, when she touched them clothes.
That's right.
Amen. Oh my.
Amen.
She felt something, Bonnie.
Yeah.
What she felt, you know, I'm talking about running all the way from the top, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet.
Amen.
She said, wow.
Yeah.
I bet Patty felt something when James fell over here. Amen.
Amen.
My wife would shove me off, probably kicked me and bit me or something. Amen. But here, she had found that he was all she needed. And when she felt that healing, Jesus also felt that virtue had gone out of him. Verse 30. Her circumstances had made her desperate. You know, lots of things you know you got to do, but you're not in no hurry to do them. But sometimes circumstances will make you where you got to do them. I tell Donnie I'm going to clean my basement out one of these days. He just laughs. I got intentions that just ain't desperate to do it. I'm procrastinating. Patrick come over there and he see my basement. He said, is this a basement or a path? I said, a little bit of both. Amen. It's rigged in there, ain't it, brother? I mean, it's just a little narrow path maybe to my basement. All it is where I'm, you know, in a hurry, throw stuff in there, I'll deal with it later, and deal with it later, but then you can't even get the garage door down, you know what I mean? But anyway, she was desperate. Her circumstances caused her to make the journey. Her circumstances caused her to make her way through the crowd. Like I said, I wasn't there, but if you come from the back and make it all the way to the front, I don't know what all she did, but she made it, amen.
Amen.
Oh my. Then our next text here is in Matthew chapter number 15. And we can kind of go back and forth between Mark and Matthew on this one here. But in Matthew chapter 15, here's a black woman. And boy, she's desperate. Amen. And verse 21. It says, then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan. That means she's a black woman, for those of you who don't know. And I think Mark calls her Syphonician. But she came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, Sister Bonnie. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried out. She's desperate, amen.
Yeah.
She's got her children, Sarah, yeah, made her desperate. I've seen a lot of mothers. Well, they won't be denied. I'll tell you right now. They're going to be heard. They're going to be seen. When it comes to their children, whatever it takes, they're going to do it, amen. But her children had caused her to be desperate. They said, send her away, for she cried after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him. You may not get that, but you will hear in a minute. Worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me.
Right.
She's pulling on some strings there.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, she's down there. Help me.
Yeah.
She's appealing to the compassion of Jesus. But he answered her and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs.
Yeah.
Now, most people would have been offended at that statement.
Yeah.
But she's desperate, sir.
Yeah.
She said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs, my dogs do, which fall on their master's table. I've got one on each side watching me every bite I take with a wet nose. Wondering, you going to drop some of that? And I drop some, they're bumping each other's head. They'll headbutt each other trying to figure out where in. Amen? He says, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall on their master's table. Then answered Jesus and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. It's a desperate woman.
Amen.
And the reason she's desperate, her daughter's she's grievously vexed with the devil. And she besought him. That means begging. She's not going to be denied. You find that in Mark chapter 7, verse 26. She besought him. Also in verse number 2, verse 22, here. And then she worshipped him. And Jesus told that woman, John chapter 4, that those that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. I'm going to say she done both of them, amen. And she's begging, she's worshiping. And then she humbled herself to him. Now Mark chapter 7 tells you about this humility here. Mark chapter 7, verse 28. She answered and said unto him, Yea, Lord, yet the dogs on the table eat of the children's crumbs. Yes. And he said unto her, For this saying, you see what I mean? For this saying, go thy way. The devil's gone out of thy daughter. She humbled herself to the point, she said, Lord, you're right. But she said it right. She didn't say it sarcastically. She said it in humility. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. You're talking about a blessing there. Here, Jesus said, for this saying, her child was healed. Amen? You got a desperate woman here with a physical problem. Her circumstances made her desperate. Then you got a desperate woman here. Her child has made her desperate. And then you got one more woman here real quick. In John chapter number 8. You got a woman here, and she's pretty desperate. Now you got a bunch that hates Jesus, and sadly they're using this woman to try to ensnare Jesus. And now here's a woman in John chapter 8. Says Jesus went into the Mount of Olives early in the morning and came into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees, that's that bunch thought so much of themselves, wasn't no room for nothing else. Brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses, they're trying to get real spiritual right here. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. When they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. I got a feeling they had a little help there. I believe the Lord kind of bared down on them. Maybe brought some things to remembrance that they hadn't thought about in a while. Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. This desperate woman here, she's been caught in the very act. I wasn't there. But I'm going to guess this woman is expecting, since she's caught in the very act, no way to lie out of it, nobody to blame on you. Eve said that serpent, Adam said that woman. Here she is, Rita. I guess she's expecting to see far in the eye of Jesus. Instead of follow, she sees compassion.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Somehow you look somebody's eyes and tell where it's okay or not.
Right.
I've been in all kinds of trouble before. Sometimes I let you know where you're okay or not. I think she saw something she didn't think she'd see. I think she liked what she saw. And she's desperate. And I believe she realizes that Jesus is a friend of sinners. I believe she realizes, you know, that He's having compassion on her. He's not only having compassion, He's even advocating for her. He said there in verse 7, He is without sin among you. Boy, He put the finger on them. But I can see them now, sir. This woman caught in the very act. But He took that same finger and said, which of you is without sin? But I can see them boys shrinking down a little bit. They didn't think she was going to go on their foot soon, buddy. You know what I mean? He turned that thing around there, amen. Instead of seeing fire, she saw compassion. Instead of hearing the words, how could you? She heard the words, go and sin no more. You know, when he's writing on that ground there, I don't know that this is what he wrote. It's been good for you, Brother Eric. But Brother Eric's always putting scripture on the internet. I love him for doing that, getting God's word out there. But in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22 through 24, it talks about bringing both of them, not one. So both of them shall be stoned. They're trying to entrap Jesus here. It said here they've done this that they might take him. Where am I at here, Eddie? What they've done here, they was doing to try to ensnare him. I can't find the verse I'm looking for. This they said tempt him, verse 6. Yeah, they were trying to tempt Jesus, trying to put him in a position, you know, that he couldn't handle, but he's way above them.
Right.
That's what I'm going to my own preach next Sunday. I'm underestimating God. Going to be good to you.
Right. Amen.
All of us need a good update. Remember just how big a God we got, just how great a God we got. Amen. I mean, to be honest with you, we do a lot of, I guess, doubting, maybe some fear, whatever. We don't need to do none of that. I'm telling you, as long as He's on the throne, hey, it's well my soul, amen. Brother, here they were tempting Him. They were trying to entrap Him. And I tell you what, buddy, He put it back on them. And He wrote there in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22 through 24, that both of them shall be stoned. When they're trying to take the word to accuse her, He took the word, I believe. Now, I don't know that He done that. Somebody wrote a song, he's writing love letters on the ground. I don't know. I just know this, that woman saw something that day that she wasn't expecting. Right? I'm sure she's expecting to see fire in Jesus' eye. Bonnie, I'm sure she's expecting to hear something like, how could you? But I tell you what, she saw something. She saw somebody on her side, Rita. She saw somebody taken up by her. You know, if I'm going to get in trouble, I want some help. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, I would that you sin not.
Amen.
But if you do, and we do, we got an advocate. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
A mediator. Between us and God. Says, Father. That's old word Eddie down there. He ain't worth nothing. I love him. I paid $100 for him. I want you to forgive him. I want you to help him. You know, thank God for advocate. Oh my, they got it now. You can't afford a good lawyer. I got mine for free, Brother Harry. But here he is. He's advocating for this woman here. She's caught. She's guilty. She's caught in the act. Falling out there. Everybody's looking at her. I don't know what everybody else looking. But Jesus is looking at her like, I'm here for you. It'll be alright. Thank God for an advocate like he was to her here. He told him, he said, well, I'll tell you what, boys. He is without sin among you. Let him first cast a stone at her. Somebody said, you hear rocks dropping all over the place. People act like they didn't even have one.
Right.
Yeah. Jesus knows how to handle my accusers, Brother Donnie.
Amen.
Right. He accused me before God. Not today, he said that old Eddie.
That's right.
He didn't pray long enough. He didn't read his Bible enough. You know, God doesn't make demands. He does deserve, but He don't make demands. I've been wrestling all week, prayer this week. Fighting that old flesh, you know how it is, you know. And had success. I still pray through it, but it wasn't easy. The old devil fought me tooth and nail all week long just about praying. I prayed I'm praying and praying and praying. And that old devil boy, he was beating me down, trying to steal my thoughts away, my concentration away, trying to get me thinking about other things, all kind of stuff like that. Hey, I just shake it off, amen. But after they left, Jesus says, woman, this desperate woman, woman, where are those thine accusers? Mm-hmm. Then he asked her another question, Bonnie. Hath no man condemned thee?
Yep.
Is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Where are those men, woman? This desperate woman? Where are those that accuse you? Where are those that condemn you? And her answer, sir, no man, Lord. Jesus saith unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Boy, this desperate woman, she found solace in those words. Not only did she get to go. Now the Lord doesn't promote sinning. Sin ain't good in any capacity. It ain't. It's not supposed to be named among us becoming saints. But I'll tell you what, if you do sin, and we do, and my prayers always start out like this: Lord, forgive me my sins, wash and cleanse me of my sins, deliver me evil days and evil temptation, order my steps, help me walk in them, lead me in the paths of right to your name's sake, help me walk for you in deed of holiness, help me be a blessing, not a burden, help me not to grieve your Holy Spirit, help me to submit to your will. I mean, you pray how you want to, but you need to pray like you're talking to God. And you know, the Lord don't condemn the sinner.
Right.
He forgives us, but He don't condone sin either.
Mm-hmm.
We talk Wednesday night about shortening lives. Man, Rita's there about God can shorten the lives of Christians. God can shorten the life of sinners. Ananias and Sapphira, I found out the hard way. And like I said Wednesday night, I guess they stood before God. God said, was it worth it? You know what I mean? It's kind of like one of them situations where they're out of here. And they went to heaven by the grace of God to be saved. Now listen, I don't know who's saved, who ain't. But if you're saved, you're going to heaven by the grace of God. You can't make it better.
Amen.
You can't make it worse.
Right.
I've been redeemed. That means Jesus paid my sin debt.
Amen.
He paid it on the cross.
Right.
The best verse in your Bible is Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Then you take that verse and hinge it with Ephesians 4:32. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us.
Yeah.
Oh my. Desperate women found they didn't have to go no further than Jesus to get the devil out of the daughter, to get the healing that they needed, and also here to find compassion. Even though this woman's guilty, she found mercy. She found compassion. Father, we thank you for the privilege to preach from your word. Lord, I pray this word will help somebody. We pray, dear God, Lord, you'd bless your children. Lord, you withheld me from saying one thing I was going to say, and I realized that just now. So I guess, Lord, you didn't want it to be said. We're okay with that, Father. We want to be obedient, Lord, to your beckoning. Whatever, Lord, you will, that's what we want. But I bless your children here today. Thank you for being so merciful, so gracious, so kind. Oh, Lord, to us. Thank you, Lord. And, Lord, we just ask, Lord, Father, that, Lord, you do this message, whatever could be done with it. Maybe help somebody. Maybe get somebody saved. Maybe get somebody back in church. We don't know, Lord. But we pray you use it, Father, in the way, Lord, it seems good to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Get everybody stand. Get Brother Eric, if you would. Just a verse of invitation to him. Sister Sharon can help him. You need to come. Well, I want you to come. If you don't